I vote we pick a route and see where it... Thwack.
What the...
Alex cried, ducking to avoid being hit by a second arrow that whizzed by so close to her head, she felt her hair move from the air it stirred.
Down!
Jordan bellowed, urging the others off their feet. Alex heard three more whistling noises accompanied by woody thwacks, and realized they weren't being targeted so much as warned. But warned about what? She wasn't sure.
Terran mortalis, seus fiora and raelia, came an angry female voice.
Alex lowered her protective arm from her head and looked at her friends with wide eyes. When none of them responded to the voice, their attacker repeated the question, sounding even more irate, if that was possible.
Terran mortalis, seus fiora and raelia.
How do you feel about fielding this one, Alex?
Jordan whispered. She sent him a look that told him exactly how she felt. But they needed to know what was going on. So she carefully, and very slowly, rose to her feet, hands raised in surrender.
I'm sorry, but I can't understand you, Alex called out, feeling like she had a big red target painted on her forehead.
What if she was wrong about the earlier shots being warnings? The silver trees to her left rustled, and Alex tensed. But it wasn't an arrow that came out of the forest. It was a young woman. Or really, she may not have been young, since she was clearly Maiaran, and age was irrelevant for their eternal race.
I said, what foolish mortals dare trespass upon raelia?
The Maiaran was as entrancingly beautiful as any of her kind, with long golden hair, skin the color of honey, and eyes as green as emeralds. Those eyes pierced Alex with a burning anger. But she was more concerned about the drawn arrow pointed straight at her heart. Alex shifted nervously.
Just us, my friends and I, we come in peace?
If Alex wasn't so worried about not making any sudden moves, she would have slapped her forehead for such a ridiculous statement.
You trespass upon sacred grounds, the Maiaran said, her expression livid, the penalty of which is death.
Whoa, whoa.
Wait just a second,
Jordan said, jumping to his feet, with Baron DC following.
We didn't come here deliberately, or, well, not here, here, at least. We're looking for Maya. We just got dropped off at raelia, so not our fault.
Yeah,
agreed Bear, indicating to Alex.
And we wouldn't have known where we were if Alex hadn't been here before.
The Maiaran looked at each of them as they spoke, but her arrow remained fixed on Alex, and now her gaze returned to her as well.
What does your companion speak of?
We didn't deliberately come here, Alex repeated. It wasn't intentional.
No, the Maiaran interrupted. He said you've been here before?
Alex frowned at Bear, wondering if he'd landed her in even more trouble. But since their being in raelia was already punishable by death, it wasn't as though she could be executed twice.
I was here about a month ago, she admitted. At night.
Impossible,
the Maiaran gave a firm shake of her head.
Before today, no mortal has ever set foot in raelia. You must be mistaken.
Believe what you want, but I'm telling the truth.
The Maiaran appeared torn by the honesty in Alex's expression, and after a few tense moments, she hesitantly lowered her weapon.
Come with me, she ordered.
We'll see if you speak the truth.
With those words, the Maiaran turned away and headed back into the forest. When Alex stepped over the mushrooms to follow her, nothing changed, and she realized she was actually in raelia, as opposed to the last time when she'd been transported there from the middle of the Azera forest.
Make haste, mortals, the Maiaran ordered, or I'll be forced to motivate you.
Alex shuddered at the Finn-inspired thought of the Maiaran running along behind them shooting her arrows. She exchanged anxious glances with her friends, and they all picked up their pace. After a good 10 minutes of silence, Alex couldn't keep quiet anymore.
Why are the trees silver? The Mayaran's steps faltered, but then she continued striding forward without pausing to turn around.
Alex guessed being human meant she wasn't worthy of an answer, so she was surprised when the Mayaran spoke.
You're in the Silverwood. That is their nature.
The Silverwood? Jordan repeated. That's so cool. I thought it was only a myth.
Clearly, that's not the case, came the Mayaran's dry reply. But it's unlikely you'll ever leave this place to tell anyone otherwise.
That managed to dampen Jordan's excitement. They continued walking in silence for another 5 minutes before the silver trees began to change color. Slowly but surely, the bark transformed into a radiant gold, and the leaves turned into a shade of dark honey.
Are we in the Goldenwood now?
Alex whispered to Jordan, thinking it a valid guess. Forgetting how good Mayaran hearing was, she was reminded when their guide snorted in response. It was the first non-aggressive sign the Mayaran had exhibited, and Alex hoped it was a positive noise, but she couldn't be certain.
Are all mortals as uninformed as you? Their escort asked.
Alex kept her mouth closed, not sure what to say.
I think that's a no to the Goldenwood theory,
Jordan whispered back. She looked at him with exasperation.
Yeah, I got that, thanks.
There's no such thing as a Goldenwood, the Mayaran informed them. These trees are golden because they form the boundary around the city of Maya.
Alex felt her heart skip with anticipation. She glanced at her friends and saw the starry-eyed looks on their faces. They had grown up hearing bedtime stories of the lost city. For them, what they were about to experience was comparable to walking into a make-believe world. With every step through the now golden forest, Alex felt her nervousness increase. Despite the excitement of seeing the lost city, she couldn't forget they were about to be in a whole heap of trouble for trespassing upon a sacred site. She had no idea how that would play out. Not to mention, there was also the potentially devastating news regarding Avon that she was supposed to deliver. They really should have come up with a plan first. The trees ended abruptly at the top of a cliff overlooking a deep valley that stretched across the horizon. The surrounding cliffs were lined with golden trees that glistened in the sun's rays. Around the boundary were thunderous waterfalls spilling into a river that encircled the valley like a moat around a castle. Alex could only just see the distant and jagged cliff face that ended the valley from where they stood, but she didn't stop to wonder just how far the distance was. She was too distracted by her first view of Maya.
Whoa.
Alex wasn't sure who said it, but it was the only word to describe what they were seeing. Never in her most creative fantasies could she have imagined such a spectacular place. The entire city blazed, like it was lit from within by a silvery luminescence that seemed to flow out of a massive, spiraling building situated in the middle of the valley.
Their palace really is made out of Myrocks, DC whispered in awe.
Alex realized that her friend was right. The huge architectural phenomenon in the middle of the city had to be the palace, shining with the light of a thousand suns, or apparently just shining from the pure Myrocks of which it was made. The glow was so strong that it radiated out into the rest of the impressive city, lighting the entire valley, bouncing across the river and up the waterfalls into the forest.
Incredible,
Alex breathed.
You should feel honored, the Mayaran said. Your race hasn't set foot upon the Golden Cliffs for millennia. It's only fitting that you should witness such a sight before you meet your end.
Could you ease up on the death threats? Jordan muttered.
If this is meant to be one of our last living moments, you're kind of ruining it.
Faster than Alex could track the movement, the Mayaran had her arrow notched and her bowstring taut, with the lethal weapon pointing directly into Jordan's face. If she released it, Jordan would be dead before any of them could blink.
You'd be wise to watch your words, youngling, the Maiaran hissed. You'll find that those who I'm taking you to are much less tolerant. She lowered her weapon, and Alex reached a trembling hand out to squeeze Jordan's shoulder. He didn't seem outwardly rattled, but she knew he must have been shocked by the Maiaran's quick reaction. Neither he nor Bear had ever interacted with Aven, so they hadn't witnessed firsthand the speed and strength the immortal race possessed. Not until now, at least. Come along, mortals, the Maiaran said, and she moved closer to the uneven cliff face. Watch your step, as the remainder of your life will be shortened further if you set a foot out of place.
We're not climbing down there, are we?
DC asked, her voice hitching slightly.
We'll break our necks.
The Maiaran continued walking until she reached the very edge of the precipice, where she dropped into a crouch. She then balanced on one hand before using it to push herself off the side of the cliff.
No!
Alex cried, rushing forward in shock. Sure, the Maiaran had threatened their lives, but Alex didn't want to see her dead. She dropped to her stomach and crawled until she could see out over the edge. Inexplicably, the Maiaran was perched just beneath the cliff top, standing on empty air.
I have all eternity, but you are aging by the second, the Maiaran said plainly. Come along. Let's not waste any more time than we have to.
Alex gaped at her.
How are you levitating?
The Maiaran exhaled wearily. It was a sign of frustration rather than anger for a change. She stood up on tiptoes and reached up to grasp Alex's wrist, yanking her over the cliff. Alex heard her friends scream her name as she fell, but instead of plummeting to her death, she landed on a solid surface.
What is this?
She asked, standing on wobbly legs and staring at the transparent flooring. Despite what her body was telling her, she could see no evidence of any kind of support underneath her. It simply looked like she was floating in the middle of the air. Alex had to close her eyes when the scenery spun around her. They were very high up, and having what appeared to be nothing under her feet didn't agree with her stomach, regardless of the impossibly stable, but invisible, floor.
Alex, are you okay?
She looked up and saw that all three of her friends were leaning over the cliff and staring at her in astonishment.
Yeah, she said. There's some kind of barrier or something.
It's the Volus Path, the Maiaran informed them. The Eternal Path? It will take us the rest of the way.
You guys better get down here before you end up coming over head first like me, Alex warned her friends.
One by one, they helped each other down until they were all standing on the transparent Volus Path.
This is so unnatural, Bear said, looking down.
I recommend that you all take a seat, the Maiaran suggested.
With no other warning, they shot forward through the air. Alex felt the breath leave her when she slammed against the transparent force field surrounding them. She barely managed to choke back a scream as they flew along what she could only describe as an invisible roller coaster. Every twist and turn moved them lower to the ground and closer to the city, passing over the moat-like river and moving so near to one of the waterfalls that Alex felt the water spray through the apparently not-so-solid force field.
The Volus Path moved so quickly that within seconds they entered the outskirts of the city, and then they soared in and around, above and even below the silver-glowing buildings.
Faces of Maiarans blurred past them, but they sped along too fast to take in any real details, other than the fact that they were heading deeper into the city.
Where are we going?
Alex yelled over the wind.
She wondered why and how. The Volus Path protected them from falling when it didn't keep out the other elements.
Where do you think, the Maiaran returned, are all mortals so unintelligent?
For the second time, Alex wasn't sure how to answer the generalized and offensive question. Instead, she looked ahead to what she guessed was their intended destination. The
The Maiaran Palace was the jewel of the city. It was truly beautiful, with swirling, slimline towers spiraling high into the heavens. The closer they came, the more easily Alex could see past the overwhelming glow of the Myrocks and make out the finer details in the architecture.
Wow, she breathed, when the Volispoth stopped their forward momentum just near the entrance.
You can say that again, Jordan agreed, still collapsed against the barrier beside her. The palace was made out of Myrocks, that they already knew. But it wasn't just made out of Myrocks. Golden vine-like designs wrapped around the silvery Maiaran metal, creating the most breathtaking sight Alex had ever seen. The magnificence was utterly indescribable. It was a palace outside the most imaginative of dreams. Alex could have stared at the architectural masterpiece for days, but their Maiaran escort cleared her throat, breaking her and her friend's reverential gaze.
Follow me, the Maiaran said, and don't speak unless addressed.
Alex and her friends followed their guide up a long set of shining stairs until they reached a massive Myrocks and golden-vined archway that led into the palace. Two fearsome guards stood on either side of the entrance, one male and one female. Both had swords and other glinting weapons attached to their dark, Myrocks-infused, leather-like armor, along with quivers of feathered arrows and bows strapped to their backs. Despite their bulk and authoritative stances, they were still beautiful to behold. The dark-skinned male was huge, both in height and muscle mass. He had shoulder-length hair and an amused expression on his ruggedly handsome face, while the female had wavy black hair and intense steel-gray eyes. It's really not fair that an entire race of people can be so attractive, Alex thought.
Kaya, Freydagir Salandi,
the male guard spoke, glancing at Alex and her friends curiously.
Hireth Engartha, Dasifa Lenias,
their Maiaran guide responded.
Tayern Derelia.
The female guard scowled and raised her sword threateningly.
Mekiravars en Hursan, Kaya, Resa Felin de Ornarelia.
Their Maiaran escort said something in response, and the unknown female guard stepped forward, her steely eyes blazing with anger.
Stop! Vera!
Their escort ordered firmly in the common tongue, allowing Alex and her friends to understand.
The humans are under my protection until they've been questioned. I don't take orders from you yet, Kaya,
the female guard, Vera, spat back.
But you do take them from me,
came another voice. Alex sucked in a breath at the sight of the Maiaran, who appeared at the entrance to the palace. He was, well, wow, didn't quite sum him up. He was not as youthful as the other Maiarans she'd interacted with, but he was just as beautiful, and he stood tall and confident with golden hair and warm amber-colored eyes. His demeanor exuded wisdom and kindness, and for some inexplicable reason, his very presence calmed Alex's nerves. Then she noticed the crown on his head.
Stand down, Vera,
he ordered.
Yes, sire,
the female guard said, lowering her sword and ducking her head respectfully.
Kaya, the crowned Maiaran said to their escort, it seems I've come outside for a refreshing walk, only to discover humans on my doorstep. I trust you have a good reason for bringing mortals into my city?
Yes, my king, Kaya said. I need to speak with you, in private.
Alex was surprised by the lack of deference their escort showed to the ruler of Maia, but he didn't seem to mind. All he did was tilt his head thoughtfully and say,
you and your companions may join me in my receiving room.
The king stepped back inside, and Kaya looked at Alex and her friends pointedly before following him.
At least we know he's not dead, Jordan said. That's good news.
Jordan was right.
That was good news. Aven had tried to murder his father, and he'd supposedly succeeded in stabbing him with a dagger. So it was a relief to learn that the leader of Maya was still alive and ruling. Alex waited for her friends to walk through the entrance and followed after them, but as she moved past the two guards, the male Mayarin stiffened. She turned her head to look at him in question just as he reached out and grabbed her shoulder, spinning her around to face him.
What are you?
He demanded. She froze to the spot. What?
What are you?
He repeated, shaking her roughly. Alex winced from his strong grip, but forced herself to respond.
What do you mean? I'm human. Mortal.
She only just managed to stop herself from adding a duh at the end of her sentence.
You smell like one of the Garseth.
He said, his dark eyes narrowed and staring into her own.
I don't know what that means,
Alex told him, and his fingers tensed even more.
Zane! Release her,
Kaya ordered, storming back through the entrance.
Garseth Re Tilon Feyre Delias,
the male, Zane, said angrily.
Kayen de Taris en Loga,
Kaya replied, her tone firm. Zane nodded tersely and released Alex. She automatically reached up to rub her shoulder. The male Mayaran noticed her movement, and his eyes softened slightly.
I apologize, little human. You caught me off guard.
Aren't guards supposed to always be on guard? Alex muttered under her breath. Zane's lip twitch reminded her yet again about the quality of Mayaran hearing.
Oops.
Come, mortal. Kaya interrupted before Alex could say or do anything else. The king awaits. If Alex hadn't been so worried about being pulled back and manhandled again, she would have paused upon stepping into the massive entrance room. Instead, she looked around with wide eyes and tried not to trip over her own feet as she hurried after Kaya. All Alex could think as she took in the elegant myrocks and gold decor was that DC's palace in Trillin had nothing, nothing, on the Casa de Maya. Kaya led the way along an elaborately decorated hallway that seemed to stretch for miles, but thankfully they didn't have to walk too far before she stopped at an intricately sculpted doorway. The door was open and led to a room where Alex's friends were seated in comfortable-looking chairs.
They wouldn't let us wait for you, DC said quietly when Alex sat beside her. What happened back there?
Just a misunderstanding, Alex whispered back. At least she hoped that was true.
A word, if you please, Kaya,
the Mayaran king said, waving their escort into a side room. Once Kaya had closed the door between them, Alex's friends turned to her.
Do you think we should try and sneak out?
Jordan asked. What? Why? Alex asked.
We were found trespassing upon a sacred site, he reminded her. You heard what Kaya said. We could be facing a death sentence. That's not my idea of a good time.
No one said this journey would be easy, Jordan, Alex returned softly. You know we can't leave yet.
Why not?
Bear asked, shifting around with agitation. For one thing, just because the door is closed doesn't mean they can't hear us, Alex said. And for another, I'm here for a reason, remember? I have a message to deliver. I have to stay no matter what, but if you want to attempt an escape, I'll try to cover for you. She wasn't sure how she would do that exactly, but Jordan's gift could potentially shield the three of them and help get them out without discovery.
No way, DC said. We're staying together.
But Alex started, but Jordan interrupted her.
Dix is right. We're not leaving unless we all go. If you say we stay, then we stay.
Bear nodded his agreement, and they fell into an uneasy silence. After what felt like hours, but was only about 3 minutes, Kaya and the king opened the door and stepped back into the room. Neither of them sat down. Kaya started pacing, and the king stared intently at Alex and her friends. When his eyes came to rest on Alex, she felt herself trembling under the weight of his lingering gaze. The tension built, and she gripped the sides of her chair, waiting to hear what he had to say.
Finally, he broke off his stare and nodded to Kaya, who stopped pacing and moved to stand beside him.
"Welcome to Maya, young mortals," the king said, his voice surprisingly warm. "I'm King Astolf, and you've already met Kaya, one of my most trusted warriors."
The king paused and he appeared to be waiting for something. But for what, Alex was unsure. Diplomatic relations weren't exactly her strong point.
"Follow my lead," DC whispered, motioning them all to their feet.
Once they were standing, DC bowed low, prompting the others to do the same.
"We thank you for your hospitality, King Astolf," DC said regally, rising again. "My name is Princess Delucia Cavell, and these are my friends, Jordan Sparker, Barnold Ronigan, and Alexandra Jennings. We're honored to visit your majestic city, and we're further privileged that you grace us with your presence."
"You speak well, young princess," King Astolf said, "but the honor and privilege you describe haven't come with permission. Kaya tells me she found you at Raelia, a most sacred site. Even more troubling, she tells me that one of your companions has trespassed upon the clearing before this day."
He glanced at Alex and she felt a flutter of apprehension.
"Perhaps you would be so kind as to explain yourselves?"
"Certainly, Your Majesty," DC agreed, her voice dripping with honey. Alex had no idea what her friend was about to say, but she had a feeling that whatever it was, it would only cause more damage. "We've been sent as a delegation from—"
"Wait, Dix," Alex cut in.
"Alex,"
DC whispered, her tone begging Alex not to interrupt.
"It's my fault we're here,"
Alex told her as quietly as she could. Not that it would matter given their superhearing company.
"I'm not going to let you guys take the fall."
DC looked like she wanted to argue, but then her body relaxed, and she nodded. Alex sent her a small smile and turned to the king, meeting his eyes directly.
"I brought them here. I brought us all to Raelia. If anyone should be punished, it's me. But please believe me when I say I had no idea it was a sacred site. And before you chop off my head or hang me or whatever, I have something urgent to tell you. It's about your son."
The door burst open, causing Alex to jump and spin around. At the entrance to the room stood the male guard, Zane. His nostrils were flared and his furious eyes were targeted on Alex.
"Sire, forgive my intrusion," Zane clipped,
not taking his enraged gaze from Alex.
"But I have reason to suspect this human is in alliance with the Garseth."
"Zane, you said you wouldn't speak of this again," Kaya interrupted, her tone annoyed.
"I said I wouldn't speak of it without just cause," Zane argued,
and he hauled someone around the corner and into the room with him. It was another Maiaran, but despite his enchantingly dark features, he was dressed in dirty, ripped clothes and looked like he hadn't showered in some time. He also happened to have his hands and feet chained together with moxie reel, the impenetrable wire made out of Myrox that could only be damaged by Myrox.
"What's he doing here?" Kaya demanded. "I dragged this traitor up from the dungeons," Zane said. "He's my evidence against her."
Zane's finger pointed straight at Alex, and she felt her stomach drop.
What was going on?
"She's human, Zane," Kaya said, exasperated. "Is she? Do you really believe that, Kaya? Can't you see what I see and smell what I smell?"
Zane turned his gaze away from Alex to look at the female Maiaran.
"She's different. That much is unmistakable."
At his words and the attention they brought her, Alex had to fight off a bout of nervous laughter.
"She is different,"
Kaya quietly agreed. "But how and why? I'm not sure."
"I can tell you,"
came the bold voice of the chained Maiaran. His greasy hair fell over his face in waves, and Alex had to suppress a shudder when his cunning eyes bore into her own.
"We're very close,
you see. But you've already figured that out, haven't you?
I told you, Zane said. She's one of the Garseth.
I am not, Alex said hotly. I don't even know what a Garseth is.
Come now, kitten, the prisoner purred. I've missed you these past years. My life has been so empty without you.
Alex gaped at the Maiaran, and because all eyes were fixed on her, no one noticed his self-satisfied smirk and his strangely warm wink.
He's lying, Alex cried. I've never seen this man, Maiaran, whatever, before in my life.
What reason does Nykes have to lie?
Zane demanded. He's already imprisoned for his treachery. Lying would only bring him more suffering, whereas the truth could afford him some comfort to his station.
That doesn't make sense, Alex cried. What if he's lying because he thinks doing so will grant him special favor? It's his word against mine. Seeing the unmoved faces around her, Alex took a deep breath and gathered her thoughts. She looked around the room and felt her friend's concern, Zane's alertness, Kaya's uncertainty, the prisoner's, Nykes's, amusement, and finally the king's calculating gaze. The ruler of Maia raised his eyebrows, expecting an explanation.
You asked what reason Nykes has to lie? But what about me?
Alex said, keeping her tone as calm as possible.
Why would I want to deceive you?
Zane laughed without humor.
You expect us to interpret the thoughts of the Garseth? Impossible. I wouldn't wish such dark wonderings upon any being, Maiaran or otherwise.
If you want me to keep up with this discussion, you're going to have to tell me what a Garseth is, she said.
Alex, Garseth is the Maiaran word for rebel, DC whispered fearfully. They think you're one of Avon's rebels.
11. Alex felt the blood drain from her face. She barely noticed the Maiaran's infuriated reactions to DC mentioning their banished prince. If they thought Alex was teaming up with Avon, then she was so dead, no matter what explanation she gave as to why they'd been found at Raelia.
There's no way you can think I-
Your blood is tainted, just like all Garseth, Zane interrupted. There's no denying it.
Alex shook her head in bewilderment, but then her eyes widened in realization, and she raised her hand, staring at the silvery scar across her palm. Her fear and confusion dissolved into anger.
Oh, I'm going to kill him. I don't care if he's immortal and I can barely keep up in combat. He's dead. Stupid Maiaran's ruining my life. Is it too much to ask to just be normal for a change?
She practically yelled the last part of her rant, staring up at the ceiling as if hoping for some kind of divine intervention. When none came, she sighed and lowered her gaze.
I think I can explain, but you need to promise to hear me out.
We don't need to promise you anything, Garseth, Zane said, stepping forward threateningly.
Alex returned the glare he sent her.
Then I guess you don't want to hear about how Avon Dalmarta tried to use an ancient blood-bonding ritual to claim me, so I would open a doorway through the library and grant him entrance into Maia?
The silence that came with her exclamation was thick with tension. Finally, the king spoke.
Zane, please escort Nykes back to his cell and return here immediately.
The guard left quickly, his eyes still wide with surprise. Silence descended upon them, and Alex decided to throw diplomacy out the window by trudging over to slump down into her chair, knowing she would have to wait for Zane to come back before she began her story. It took barely any time at all for the guard to return, and again he brought someone with him. Another male, Maiaran, but he clearly wasn't a prisoner. The newcomer was tall and well-built, with glossy black hair
and warm golden eyes.
Explain yourself, little human,
the king ordered once the door was closed. His gaze was much cooler now than it had been earlier.
First off, my name isn't Little Human, she said irritably. It's Alex.
DC winced at her disrespect, but the new Mayaran who had entered with the guard chuckled quietly, and the king seemed to thaw a little with her words.
Please tell us your story, Alex,
King Astolf asked, much more politely. She took a deep breath and began. I first met Avon about 9 months ago. Alex told them about all of her dealings with the disowned prince, including how and why he'd attempted to claim her, and how her willpower gift allowed her to break through his control. She didn't bother mentioning that she'd been stabbed in the back by the ice-colored dagger, thinking it was irrelevant, but she did detail her most recent encounters with him, including his newest threats. She also told them about the other gifted humans he appeared to be collecting, and how they seemed to have adopted some of his Mayaran characteristics, like longer lifespans. She ended with how she'd agreed to be a messenger to inform the Mayarans about their rebel prince, since she was chosen by the library, and could therefore open a doorway to their city. And that's why we're here. The library opened up at Raelia, so, like we said, we weren't deliberately trespassing. It would be great if you decided not to, you know, kill us. Alex cringed at her lame ending and trailed off into silence. After a few tense seconds, the Mayarans began speaking to each other in their native language, and she glanced at her friends.
I'll bet you're regretting not sneaking out now, Jordan whispered.
Maybe a little, Alex admitted, but she knew she'd done the right thing. The Mayarans now knew about Avon, and that was what mattered most. When the talking around them ceased, the newest, unknown Mayaran walked over to Alex and knelt in front of her.
May I please see your hand, Alex?
Alex wasn't sure if it was because he'd asked so nicely, or because of his mesmerizing eyes and kind face, but she didn't hesitate to open her scarred hand for him to inspect. He gently held her palm up to the light and inspected the silver line where Avon's dagger had sliced her skin.
It healed straight away?
He asked, the curiosity plain on his face. Only after... Alex paused and swallowed. She found it difficult to recount that particular memory, as it had been so disturbing at the time, and had become even more distressing later when she realized what had happened. Only after he joined our bloodied hands together. The image of their combined red and silver blood trickling down her arm was something she would never forget. The Mayaran nodded in understanding and released her hand. He moved to stand beside Kaya and turned to speak to the king and Zane.
Alex smells like one of the Garsith because Avon's blood runs in her veins. I don't believe she's otherwise associated with him.
Alex furrowed her brow. No, that's not right. The Mayaran looked at her, surprised.
Are you saying you are one of Avon's rebels?
What? No. Alex shook her head adamantly. I'm saying you're wrong about Avon's blood being in my veins. That's just not right. Fletcher, Akarne's doctor, he said I'm all me and there's nothing to worry about.
You might not be claimed anymore, the Mayaran told her, but Avon mixed his blood with yours using an extremely dark ritual. Bonded or not, a trace of his Mayaran heritage lingers within you.
Alex felt the room spin, and she was glad she was sitting down, or else she might have fainted. Or thrown up. The latter remained a strong possibility.
This is not my life, she whispered, rubbing her fingers across her face.
DC reached out and pressed a reassuring hand against her back.
Hey, you've got to admit, it's pretty cool, Jordan said. Not everyone can claim to be part Mayaran. Mate, I don't think you're helping, Bear said, seeing Alex's rapidly paling face.
I still say we need to verify the truth of her words,
Zane said to the other Maiarans.
We can all see the mark of the bonding. How can we be sure she's no longer claimed by the rebel prince? What if she's under his control right now and this is all an act? If she truly isn't Garseth, then that will easily become evident. But if she is, then that too will be revealed.
What's he talking about? Alex asked her friends, but none of them seemed to know.
Sire, I wish for your permission to verify her claim,
Zane said, speaking directly to the king. King Astoff looked from Zane to Alex, and then to the unnamed Maiarin, who shrugged at the king's unasked question.
You have my permission, the king said, looking back at the guard. But Zane, remember that she is human, regardless of all else.
I won't break her, Zane promised. I merely seek to uncover the truth.
Alex felt a shiver of foreboding. I won't break her. What was that supposed to mean? The king nodded his consent, and Zane bowed slightly before he turned and led the way from the room.
Come along, mortals,
Kaya said, ushering Alex and her friends out of their seats and motioning for them to follow as she trailed after Zane. The king and the other Maiarin brought up the rear of their procession.
I don't feel very good about this, Alex whispered to her friends. You're not the only one, DC said.
The moment they all stepped into the hallway, the floor took off from underneath them. Alex was once again thrown backwards as she felt the power of the Volispoth hurtling them through the air. Except this time, they were literally moving through the building. They flew through solid walls as if they were open windows. They whisked around Maiarans going about their day, and they rushed higher and higher up one of the spiraling towers until the transparent barrier landed them in a huge, vaulted room.
I have got to get me one of these,
Jordan said as he stood to his feet again, brushing windswept hair from his forehead. Only the Maiarans had been able to keep their footing on the ride, and Alex had no idea how they'd manage not to fall.
Where are we? DC asked, looking around the massive room. It was empty except for the eight of them, and most of the floor was covered with some kind of padded, gym-style mat.
This is one of our less commonly used training rooms,
Kaya informed them, as Zane opened one of the doors nearest to them and disappeared within.
Training rooms? Jordan repeated. Training for what?
No one answered him, and Zane re-entered the room carrying a sword. With his free hand, he immediately unsheathed his own blade from the scabbard at his waist. Held side by side, Alex could clearly see that both swords were made from the shiny Maiarin steel, and one was significantly larger than the other. Without warning, Zane threw the smaller weapon through the air, straight at Alex. She yelped and instinctively reached out to grab the pommel, grateful for Carter's occasional temper that had prompted him to pull the same dangerous maneuver on her in the past.
Hey, watch it, she said angrily. Someone could get hurt.
In the blink of an eye, Zane's sword came soaring towards her torso. Reacting on instinct, Alex spun out of the way, finally cluing in on what he planned to do with her. But they were way too close to her friends for comfort, and if the guard was intent on fighting her, there was no way she would allow anyone else to get hurt in the process.
Come on, you big oaf, Alex goaded, running away from her friends.
She kept running until she was on the firm but spongy mat, far enough away from the others for them to be safe.
If it's a fight you want, it's a fight you'll get.
She hadn't heard Zane chasing after her, so when she turned around and he was directly behind her, she had to suppress a squeak of surprise. Realizing she was about to go up against a Maiarin in a sword fight, Alex had to hold back an exclamation of fear.
Oh, I'm so dead, she thought.
Zane's sword came slicing towards her again, and this time she met it with her own blade. The power behind his blow sent her staggering, but she repositioned to hold the sword with two hands, which helped her brace against his supernatural strength. Once she managed to deflect his weapon, she wasn't sure what to do next. She didn't want to attack the Mayaran, but if the alternative was her death, then she only had one viable option. Defense it is, she decided. She would defend against his attacks, but not provoke him with her own. The following minutes nearly killed Alex in more ways than one. It turned out that defense was much easier said than done when it came to battling a Mayaran. Zane was stronger, faster, and much more experienced than anyone she'd ever fought against, including Carter. Half the time, she didn't see his sword flying towards her, and only a natural instinct for survival, coupled with some super keen reflexes, kept her limbs attached to her body.
Is that the best you can do, little Garseth?
Zane mocked. I told you, Alex panted, avoiding his blade yet again. I'm not a rebel!
And yet you fight with more fire and finesse than any other mortal I've come across,
Zane returned. What? Zane's words caught her off guard, and she only just managed to bring her weapon up in time against his next attack. In her haste to block his move, she failed to notice when he swept his leg out and hooked it behind her own, tripping her over, and she slammed onto the ground. Her sword was jarred out of her hand as she lay winded on the not-as-soft-as-she'd-first-thought floor. Instead of his sword coming down to seal her fate, Zane reached out a hand to pull Alex back to her feet. Thanks, she said, pressing a hand to her throbbing head. Yeah, the mat was definitely not as spongy as she would have liked.
You're welcome, little human,
Zane said with an amused smirk. Alex didn't know why he'd stop trying to kill her, but she wasn't willing to question the matter. Not without a sword in her hands. She would let his little human comment go, so long as he was no longer threatening her life. Zane reached down to grab the sword she'd dropped, and he indicated for her to lead the way back to their companions. She wasn't overly comfortable having him behind her with two blades, so she hurried over to the others as Zane went on to speak with the other Mayarans.
Are you all right? DC asked, looking pale.
Yeah, Alex answered, rotating her neck and feeling something pop back into place.
That was awesome,
Jordan said, staring at her in awe.
Seriously? I've never seen anything like it.
Alex turned to him.
What are you talking about? That was definitely not awesome.
From our point of view, it was pretty amazing, Alex, Bear said. We had no idea you could fight like that.
Alex searched for the right words and settled on, I still have a lot to learn.
That you do, little human,
Zane said, interrupting their conversation. Apparently, the Mayarans were done speaking privately.
But you're well on your way.
Alex wasn't sure how to respond to his unexpected compliment, so she ended up saying a quiet, thank you. She had no idea what the big deal was. She'd barely lasted a few minutes in their fight before Zane had won. That wasn't exactly something to brag about. As enjoyable as that was, I'm hoping there was a point to that exercise, Alex told the Mayarans. Did you find out what you needed to know?
We were testing whether or not you're under Avon's control,
Kaya said, her emerald eyes gazing thoughtfully at Alex. And the verdict is?
You fight unexpectedly well for one of your kind,
Zane answered.
You show great promise, but your strength and skills are your own. You're not under the influence of the rebel prince.
Alex had to resist rolling her eyes. She'd told them that, but they hadn't believed her. But despite the inconvenience and the danger, to her, she understood that they'd had to check, even if she wasn't thrilled by the way they'd done so.
Well, that's a relief,
Jordan piped up cheerfully. It would have sucked to have a best friend who was possessed by an evil tyrant. Great anecdote, but definitely not ideal.
Jordan, seriously? Stop talking,
DC muttered, shaking her head at him.
You're such a royal buzzkill,
he huffed. But then his expression brightened, and he asked, "What happens next? Can we see more of Maya before we leave?" While her friends were speaking, Alex was acutely aware of the unknown Mayaran's eyes upon her, almost as if he was searching for something.
"I'd like to try something, if you don't mind," he said, turning to wait for the king's nod of permission before looking back at Alex questioningly.
Sure, she said, wondering why he'd sought her consent when the king had already agreed. The Mayaran led her away from the others and back onto the mat. Her heartbeat sped up, and her companion chuckled as if he could hear the erratic thumping. Maybe he could, Alex realized. She had no idea just how good Mayaran hearing was.
"Don't worry, Alex," he said, maintaining his earlier informality and putting her at ease. "It's just a little experiment."
"What kind of experiment?" she asked, when she noticed him pull a long piece of material from his clothing. While he wasn't wearing head-to-toe armor like Zane, his dark outfit was still like something straight out of a fantasy movie. All that was missing was the cape.
"I spent most of my youth with Avon Delmarta," he said. "I'm well acquainted with the scent of his blood, and that's why I'm one of the few who can tell it lingers within you, dormant or not. I have no concerns about him holding any control over you. It's clear your mind is too strong for his claiming to still be active. But I'm curious whether the blood tainting your veins has any other effect. I'd like to test my hypothesis."
"And what is your hypothesis?" Alex asked, wondering how much further they would be walking and whether she should ask him to take her back to her friends.
"I'll let you know after I've tested it."
Alex wasn't certain she liked his answer. "Do you have a name?" He turned to look at her with an amused and breathtakingly beautiful smile.
"I do."
"And it is?"
"We're far enough away from the others now," he said, avoiding her question. "But just in case."
He trailed off and knelt to the floor, pressing his fingers in some kind of coded rhythm against the mat. When he stood again, the floor began to tremble, and a luminescent Myrox barrier rose up from beneath their feet, encircling them inside an impenetrable dome. Alex glanced nervously at the sealed force field surrounding them. She couldn't see past the shining barricade, and she knew her friends and the other Mayarans wouldn't be able to see inside either.
This doesn't make me feel great about what you have planned."
"It's okay, Alex," he said soothingly. "The barrier is for your protection. If it turns out that I'm right, then it'll be best if the others are kept in the dark."
"You know, I really hate it when people are cryptic," she said, irritation momentarily overriding her fear. The Mayaran laughed. It was a warm, comforting sound that reminded her of sunshine, strangely enough.
"I'm not a huge fan of it myself," he agreed. "My betrothed often gives me just enough information to drive me crazy, while withholding the tiniest detail needed to have everything make sense. She excels in the art of crypticness."
Alex snorted. "Crypticness isn't a real word."
"It could be."
"It's not," Alex said confidently. "And I know what you're doing, by the way." He tilted his head to the side with a small smile on his face.
"What am I doing?"
"You're trying to distract me," she told him.
"Is it working?"
"Yes," she answered, already feeling much calmer.
"Good," he said. "Now turn around so I can blindfold you. Goodbye, calm."
Seeing her wariness, he encouraged,
"I promise nothing bad will happen."
For some unexplainable reason, Alex trusted the easygoing Mayaran with his warm smiles and kind disposition. She released a heavy breath and turned around, hoping her instincts were right.
"Close your eyes,"
he instructed, and she felt him place the cloth above her cheekbones and tie it firmly at the back. He then pressed a hand to her shoulder and moved her to face him again.
"What happens now?" she asked, failing to keep the uncertainty out of her voice.
"Now we see just how good those reflexes of yours really are."
12.
A rush of air was the only warning she had before her leg was kicked out from underneath her, and she tumbled to the ground. "Hey," she cried, "what are you?" Without knowing why, she turned her body to roll out of the way just in time to hear a thump behind her, right where she'd been lying a second earlier.
"Take a deep breath, Alex," the Mayaran said. "Let go and feel the air around you."
"I don't know what you're..." Before she could finish her sentence, she heard a rushing noise and rolled out of the way again, this time using the momentum to lift herself back to her feet. She reached her hands up to untie her blindfold, but it wouldn't budge. When she tried to pull it over her head, she realized it was stuck in place.
"Get this thing off me!"
"Calm down and pay attention," the Mayaran said, his voice gentle but firm. "You need to breathe and listen."
"I don't understand what you're trying to..."
"Listen, Alex," he interrupted.
"Just listen."
The tone of his voice stopped her protests. Whatever he was trying to prove seemed to be important, and he'd been nothing but kind to her. The least she could do was try to do as he asked.
"Okay," she said, "just give me a moment. I can't hear anything over my convulsing heartbeat."
She took a few deep breaths and tried to focus outwardly. She was blind, that much was true, but she still had her other senses. So when she felt the mat underneath her feet tilt slightly, she knew the Mayaran had decided her reprieve was over, but this time she was ready. The movement of the mat told her which direction he was attacking from, and the whisper of air she could inexplicably feel rushing outward from his position told her that he was swinging his arm towards her face. Instead of ducking, she threw her own hand out, meeting and deflecting his blow with her forearm. It wasn't her smartest idea, since she'd forgotten to take into account his Mayaran strength, so all she managed to do was earn herself one mother of a bruise. From then on, every time she felt the Mayaran come at her, she ducked, jumped, lunged, and rolled out of his way. Sometimes he managed to land a hit, but more often than not, her instincts moved her out of his path in time. Alex wasn't sure how long they were going to keep experimenting when her opponent said,
"You're doing great, Alex. Let's try something more challenging and see how you go."
She had no idea what he meant, not until she heard the distinct sound of rasping metal as he unsheathed a weapon.
"You can't be serious," she cried.
The sharp whistle of steel through the air told her that he was indeed serious. Her instincts compelled her to duck out of the path of the blade.
"You're going to kill me."
"Just concentrate," he told her. "Open your mind and listen."
"Stop telling me to listen," she jumped back when she felt him lunge towards her. "And let me fight you fairly, with a weapon and no blindfold. You're Mayaran. You'll still win."
"If you have a weapon, you're more than welcome to use it," he said. "And if it makes you feel better, I'm just as blind as you."
"What?"
Alex shrieked, dropping to the ground and rolling away from another attack. Was he honestly fighting her blindfolded as well? Oh, she was so going to end up skewered.
"Can't you feel it, Alex?"
he asked, and she sensed his weapon stab towards her again. This time she was too distracted by her fear, and the blade nicked her arm, causing her to hiss as it grazed her flesh.
"I certainly felt that," she said. "Too close, buddy."
His voice was amused when he said,
"Buddy? Really?
You haven't given me any other name," she said, jumping backwards when his blade swiped at her again. "And what exactly am I supposed to be feeling?"
"Everything," he told her reverently. "Let your instincts guide you."
"What do you think I've been doing?" she huffed. "Building a submarine?"
"You're not letting go completely, Alex," he said. "Listen. Feel. Experience."
Alex stopped moving, ducking only when she felt the blade swing at her again, and tried to center herself. A few times during their experiment, she felt what she thought he was talking about. It was a natural instinct that took over and guided her to move in ways she didn't understand, but still made sense. The feeling had so far been sporadic, and the rest of the time she'd just been plain lucky. Now that the Maiaran had a blade, their game had changed, and she was more than ready to even the score. It was time for her to take an offensive position and test the limits of her senses. When Alex felt him come at her again, she crouched down to avoid the blade and swept her leg out, using his own trick to hook her limb around him and knock him off his feet. It half worked, and she sensed him stumble to his knees, but he recovered quickly and sprang back up, renewing his fight. She twirled around him, dodging another swipe of his blade, and when she sensed she was behind him, she jumped onto his back, wrapping her legs around his torso and reaching down until she held his weaponed arm. But his strength was too much for her, and he effortlessly detached her from his body, throwing her over his head and onto the ground. She hit the mat harder than expected, and the fall dazed her, taking away all her listening skills. By the time she came back to full awareness, all she knew was that there was a blade flying through the air straight towards her head. Alex didn't have time to move out of the way. All she could do was raise her arm to protect her face and hope that the Maiaran would pull back after he realized he'd hit flesh. But the blinding pain from her wrist being amputated never came. Instead, there was a metallic clang as steel met steel. Alex's shock almost caused her to drop the weapon that was now in her grasp and blocking the other blade from slashing through her body. Where had it come from?
You've been holding out on me, the Maiaran said, and Alex could hear the anticipation in his voice. Now we can really experiment.
Alex didn't have the chance to tell him to stop. She felt the strength behind his blade ease for a fraction of a second before he lunged towards her again, prompting her to roll out of the way and jump to her feet, raising her weapon in front of her. It was then that her entire perception of the world changed. She still couldn't see anything, but she didn't need to. Everything else was magnified. She could hear, feel, smell, and taste the air around her. Her senses drew together a perfect picture that she couldn't have seen with her eyes open. She was suddenly aware, and it made her feel powerful, invincible. And when the Maiaran sliced his blade towards her, she met his attacks over and over again. They lunged, they parried, blocked, and deflected. They spun, jumped, ducked, and twirled. Alex gave as good as she received. Never before had she felt so capable with a blade. In the end, it was her human weakness that ended their fight, but only when she became so breathless that she could barely draw air into her lungs.
Enough, the Maiaran said. I think we've proved my hypothesis correct.
Alex collapsed to the ground and panted heavily, dropping her weapon to the side. A moment later, the Maiaran released her blindfold, and she winced at the painfully bright Myrox barrier surrounding them. Only when her companion sat beside her did she notice that he was also affected by their workout. His breath wasn't anywhere near as ragged as hers, but he was definitely drawing in more air than normal. Why are you winded? She asked, continuing to suck in deep breaths. You're Maiaran.
And you just fought like one, he told her with a brilliant smile. That was incredible, Alex.
What do you mean? She asked stupidly. Their fight had seemed like a whirlwind to her, but that was mostly because she'd been blindfolded, right? Her sense of, well, everything had just been distorted. Right?
My hypothesis, he said. Do you want to know what it was?
Definitely, she answered without hesitation.
I wanted to test whether the dormant Maiaran blood in your veins, Avon's blood, could be utilized.
Alex felt her slowly calming heartbeat pick up speed again. What are you saying?
Alex, I believe you can choose to access Avon's Maiaran characteristics because of his blood that resides in you, he said. But whether or not you can only do so under duress is yet to be seen. That's why I blindfolded you. Sometimes we rely too heavily on what we see and miss out on opportunities to have faith in what we feel.
But you couldn't see either, Alex reminded him, her tone thick with accusation at the memory of his risky actions.
I've participated in many similar exercises before, he assured her. I wouldn't have let any harm come to you. There was one potentially dangerous situation you faced, but you surprised me when you drew your own blade to save yourself. He glanced around the mat and added, your weapon sang beautifully. May I see it?
Alex raised her eyebrows at his wording, before looking down to where she'd dropped her blade. But there was nothing there. She had no idea how to answer, but fortunately he smiled at her and said, don't worry, I'm not going to take it from you. You handled it so well that you've earned the right to keep it hidden, if that's your wish.
He rose to his feet and offered her his hand. Since every muscle in her body ached, she was grateful for the assistance. We'd better return to the others, he said, pressing the coded rhythm into the mat again to lower the barrier around them.
I'm sure they'll be curious about what we've been doing.
What will you tell them? Alex asked, following as he led the way back to the small group waiting at the other end of the massive training room.
Just that I wanted to witness your fighting ability for myself, without prying eyes.
You don't want your, companions to know about your hypothesis? She asked, not quite sure how to label the other Maiorans, one of whom was the king. Don't you trust them?
He turned to look at her as they walked. It's not my companions I don't trust.
Reading the implication in his words, Alex opened her mouth to defend her friends, but he continued talking.
I know I don't have any input over what you say and do, Alex, but I strongly advise against telling anyone what we just discovered. If Avon learns about the abilities he's inadvertently given you, he'll stop at nothing to get to you.
He's already pretty desperate to get his hands on me, Alex said. It's no secret that he wants me dead.
True as that may be, the Maiorin said, reaching out and bringing her to a halt. If he learns the full threat you pose to him, he'll be more desperate than ever to keep you from ruining his plans.
Me? A threat to him? Alex released an incredulous laugh. Are you mad?
The blood in your veins allows you to use his immortal abilities, not General Maiorin characteristics, but Avon's personal genetic traits, the Maiorin said, his face solemn enough to instantly erase Alex's disbelief. Your strength, your speed, your heightened senses. You draw from the essence of Avon's blood when you access those characteristics inherent to the Maiorin race. The connection between you two, even with the bond severed.
He trailed off and shook his head, looking at her with compassionate eyes.
Alex, you're not like his other claimed victims. You share his power. How much of it, only time will tell. But the potential you possess will paint you as a threat. Of that, there is no doubt.
Alex once again felt like she was going to throw up. But I'm not powerful. I'm not like Avon. I'm just me.
I'm sorry, Alex, he said, his voice gentle. But it was definitely his power I felt leaking out of you when we fought. That much is true.
But I'm not claimed anymore, she said, almost hysterically. Then she gasped, wait, does that mean I'm like you now? That I'm immortal? That I'm not human anymore? Heart pounding, she continued blurting out her spiraling fears. You said I can access the Maiorin characteristics, but that doesn't mean I'm, like, doing it all the time, right? You said the power is dormant in me, right?
Alex, breathe. He sent her a comforting look. You're definitely not claimed, and you're definitely human. You could choose to never tap into Avon's power and live a perfectly normal life. If you do decide to test the limits of the blood in your veins, you'll still remain mortal, because you are no longer bound to Avon's life force. But if Avon learns that his power lingers in your veins, he'll either want to kill you more than he already does, or he'll want to find a way to manipulate you to further his own plans. That's why I believe the knowledge of your blood should be kept between as few people as possible, to keep you safe, or at least, safer. Alex took a moment to let his words wash over her until she forced herself to be calm again. Only then did she say, "But I trust my friends. I don't keep secrets from them. Please, Alex," he said, his expressive eyes begging her to understand. "Don't let them know about your blood, at least not until we know more." Alex could see nothing but genuine concern in his gaze. Concern for her. So despite how difficult it was, she nodded her agreement. "I won't tell them for now, but I reserve the right to do so in the future." He released the breath he'd been holding and smiled. "I can accept that compromise." And with their agreement, the Maiarin resumed walking. They were almost back to their companions when Alex said, "After all that, are you still not going to tell me your name? You did nearly decapitate me, you know. Surely that earns me something." The Maiarin chuckled and glanced sideways at her. "It's Roka."
Roka.
Cool name. And one that Alex had.